Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
And it's that time. Time to start things off for the new year. With all things fun and curious. And I've got a local person here, so who's our expert for all things haunted, paranormal, UFO, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever you want to call. Margie Kay, she's going to be on. She's listening in the background right now. We've got some headlines to get into before that. But she also has an event coming up that you might be interested in, remote viewing. And she has her own special way of doing this. It's remote viewing, okay? But there are techniques that each person has once they develop their ability that are unique to that person. So we'll find out more about that and the details about that coming up. First, just going in with some of the headlines of the year, China cloning kitties. And, you know, they've already done the dogs, but the kitties are coming in March. And so March 2019, the kittens, and this will only cost you about $55,000. Okay. Well, there you go. That might be a problem right out of the chute. We're going to punt on that one. However, if you are interested, they will say that you will get your kitty and all will be just like the old kitty except for the personality. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that might be a drawback. I didn't look and see how much the dogs were. I'm assuming they're about the same price. So that's one of the things. And the trend for the year for food is going to be crickets, edible insects. And they're saying this is really hot. And it's already, there are some places that are already serving these guys. I'm feeling sad already because, you know, even if they are insects, there are some, you know, the cricket powder is what they're talking about. They talk about how they raise them. And right before they're supposed to check out naturally, right at the end of their limit, that's when they do it. So if it's humane in any way, that's the way it's supposed to be. And they're eating good stuff, not, you know, like in the closet foraging around for stuff that you would prefer they didn't. They didn't put into your food. But for the rest of us, Mediterranean's the way to go. Okay, so there you go, just for the food. And the one fun thing about the Guinness Book of World Records is you never know what they have in their repertoire of how much and what you need to do and can do to be able to get a record. But in case you're an outdoor person, and I am occasionally, the record for setting up a two-person tent, just over a minute. And they were aiming for under a minute. And then the Guinness people told them, no, you have to actually be in the tent. Said it was great. You could beat the minute before you got in the tent. So they had to get in the tent. The rain fly on and the zip door flaps had to be everybody inside. So there you go. That's it. Now, close to home, if you're going to do a day trip, and Margie Kay might be able to fill us in on this, there's a haunted doll that is in the Museum of Shadows. I haven't been there. I just found out about it recently. I'm like, whoa, okay. So the Museum of Shadows in Nebraska, and they have the doll, Ada. The doll is about 27-inch. It's one of those really cool little dolls made in Germany, 1889. The deal is the family tried to get rid of the doll because at some point, you know, she's got this energy around her, and they're saying, this might be a bad influence. So they took her to the dump where, you know, where all good dolls end up. Anyway, or bad dolls. And they said that nearly 20 miles away, she was in the landfill, sitting there waiting for a ride home, apparently. Then she did come up from whatever. She came back. She was in the garage. They found her sitting on top of a bag of fertilizer. They tried to get rid of her again. The only thing was different that at that point, she'd lost her eyes. And she found her way home, even though she was blind, which is impressive. They climbed out of the bag when they tried to get rid of her again. So they donated her to this museum. Now, this is where it gets really cool, because The people who took her said they were driving her to that museum and they started to hear noises from the back seat. And they have like a, they say they were a private quarantine area because they're used to this stuff. They heard the whisper from the back saying, "I want out," and the little kid crying. So they decided ever since that point that whenever they move her or go near her, that they wear their hazmat suit because she made him feel sick and had a migraine and the whole nine yards. And now you can look at her on the cam at the museum moving. She's safely latched in there so she can't sneak up on anybody. Okay, Margie Kay, you're the expert on this with the haunted antiques and items and things like that. Do you guys have anything about like that locally in Kansas City? Does this sound familiar?
Oh, it does sound familiar. There's a shop in downtown Independence, an antique store that has a famous haunted doll. In fact, I have a haunted doll that I just acquired recently. Okay. And didn't really realize it. It was an antique doll, and I bought it to go into a museum that we own in Independence. And I put the doll in the room, and a few days later, some people came in, and they said, "What's up with that doll?" And I said, "Nothing. It's just, you know, an antique doll." Well, this happened many times, so I thought, I think I better check this out. And yes, so I got some equipment, and we did a full-on investigation with all types of equipment. And every time we take anything near that doll, like an EMF detector or anything else, and plus a REM pod, I put the REM pod next to it. It just went absolutely crazy. So. Yeah, now I own one. But I remote viewed that one you were just talking about.
Yeah.
And I see that it is haunted by a child, by a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she does want to be with that original family.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, obviously why she went back. They were not happy because they said lots of negative things happened and she seemed to be part of that. So, well, okay. And then if you're just now tuning in, and Margie Kay, I've talked to her before, but she's an author, a paranormal investigator, and she also has done stuff. There's a book that I've got in my hands right now, The Kansas City UFO Flaps with MUFON, Missouri MUFON. And so we have a lot of content we could cover one way or the other. But the other thing happening is the remote viewing. And this is a two-day hands-on experience, March 2nd and 3rd, coming up in Independence. And that's for, you know, for local listeners, that's really doable, okay? So with that, Margie Kay can help you learn how to hone your skills. If you've never done it before, that's not a problem. You go and you kind of get the basics. And if you're good at it already, then there might be some things you can all add to your abilities. But she's the Assistant State Director for Missouri MUFON. And 450, according to the book, you've probably done more by now, but 450 UFO investigations. So one of these things that is, I thought was interesting in the news that I picked up here from Susie Hansen, she's the UFocus New Zealand director. They said that the patterns she's seen, there's like a flap, same thing going on, very more activity, it's increasing. And they've noticed that the corridors and hot spots are associated with seismic events. Have you noticed with that, you know, some of the areas in Missouri that you've checked out, are there other issues that might make it easier for these to be citing hot spots?
Yes. Well, the seismic events certainly is something that I looked into. And in fact, I talk about that in the book. We did notice, and I found out a few things I didn't know before. First of all the seismic maps with the fault lines are not correct that you find online.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to really, really dig because there are some you know, secondary, smaller faults that come off of the larger ones. And we have one that comes up into the South Kansas City area right underneath Richards Gebauer Air Base, which is interesting.
Okay.
And that is from the New Madrid Fault. And then there is another fault line that is west of Kansas City, and that comes from Oklahoma, goes up north through Kansas. And that fault is the one that we all felt when we had a couple of earthquakes here in Kansas City,
okay.
Which is extremely, I mean, for those of us who've lived here our entire lives, that was a bizarre feeling, those earthquakes.
Well,
they were small.
Yeah.
But, you know.
At the time, I remember somebody saying that they could even feel it in Weston, I mean, which is north of Kansas City.
Yeah, it's northwest, so they probably felt it more than we did. But I noticed that there were UFO sightings close to those events, around those events. And in fact, most UFO investigators will tell you that the balls of light that are seen around fault lines or just before a seismic event are still remain unexplained, but they have something to do with it. They're related to it in some fashion. We just don't know what.
Okay, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Marcia Kay is my guest, and we're going to talk about the remote viewing event you've got coming up, okay? So stick around. In the meantime, we're talking about the book, The Kansas City UFO Flaps, and you can check that out. It's available on Amazon, but we'll be right back. And I'll put the links on the blog, Wendy's Coffee House. So if you miss anything, check the blog. In the meantime, coming up, remote viewing with Marcia Kay, and a whole lot more, ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot. We've got it all on Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Glad to have you along. If you're curious, there is so much here that we are just floating around, that's around us that we can't see. And that's the thing about this, is once you start at least having one experience, you get curious about what else is here. And Marcia Kay is also a remote viewer. She is familiar with UFOs, with ghosts, with the ETs, the whole nine yards. The thing about this is one of the things that she was first, I think, getting a lot of notoriety on was with her ability to help with crime scenes and solving crimes and doing that kind of thing. So I wanted her to kind of share that and talk about, before we get into the event coming up with the remote viewing, how that worked. And this, I think she's going to talk about the first case, because this is, I think, fascinating and something that until you do it, you really have no clue what you're actually picking up on around people. And once you feel that, you understand maybe it would help to be more familiar with your own emotions and block stuff before you realize you're taking everybody else's garbage on. For me, that's how intuition and remote viewing works. Okay, Margie, you had, I think, at the very beginning, something that probably keyed you into the fact that you could do this. I don't think, you know, was it an accident, or how did this start for you with the crime?
Like, it kind of was an accident. I had been doing psychic readings, as we used to call them, for a number of people, in the evenings and the weekends. I would do that and did that for many years from about age 20. And when I was about 35 years old, one of my clients that came to see me quite often, she was a legal secretary. She called me up one evening and said they had a desperate situation. Her niece was missing, and the child was 14 years old, and they had gone everywhere they could possibly think of. The police had been involved, and they were at their wits' end. They were just desperate to find this girl. And I had, of course, done psychic readings with a person sitting right in front of me and, looking at their energy field, things like that. And so this was the first time that I thought, I wonder if I can just send my consciousness out and look for this girl. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. And basically, I used my third eye center, the pituitary area, and just could feel and see this stream of energy going out, and I was searching for the child, and all I knew was her name and her age and that she was probably somewhere in the Kansas City area. Mm-hmm. And within a few seconds, I was standing on a street, and it was my observation as if I was actually physically standing on the street at an intersection, and I looked up and I could see these two signs, street signs. So I'm talking to this woman on the phone while I'm doing this, and I told her the name of the streets. And she says, oh my God, she said, we were just there because they suspected a certain house there. And so I said, hang on just a minute. Let me walk down a little ways because I feel I'm being pulled to this one house. And I looked up and I saw an address. And I gave her the address, and she said, that is it. That's the address where they had been.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I see two men and a woman, and they look pretty rough. They're inside the house, and there's no one in the house with them. But then I was drawn to go look out, go out the back door, out into the backyard, and there was a shed there. And I looked inside, and I saw the girl tied, and she had duct tape on her mouth,
mm-hmm.
was in the shed. Well, the police had already been there, but they did not look in the shed. So I told the woman to go back there immediately because the child was there. And so she called me back a few minutes later. She called the detective that was working on the case, and she told him, she says, I'm going back there no matter what you say. And he says, well, I wish you wouldn't, but I don't want you to go there by yourself, so I'm going to go with you.
Mm-hmm.
So he went alone. Before there had been several police, but this time he went alone and went with her and went in the back, and they found the girl. And she called me up. She said, you know, I don't know how you did this, but you know, the family was so grateful, and it turned out that they were part of a white slavery ring, and that girl was going to be shipped out in the morning.
Good grief.
So if they hadn't found her that day, she would have been gone.
Wow. And see, that's the thing that, when you, like you were saying, you were just doing psychic readings, and this was something you decided to experiment with. The more you use
right.
these abilities, the better you get. You can improve. And that's why I think with your abilities, and then teaching people how to tap into this, is extremely helpful, because it works in all areas of your life, actually, in my opinion. And I've seen you, again, I'm talking with Margie Kay, and the book that I happened to grab, the Kansas City UFO Flaps, talks about local sightings that include various sightings in addition to UFOs. But I saw you do a demonstration of your remote viewing ability when we were at an event in Weston, and you basically described the house spot on. Amazing. Just said, okay, does it look like this? And they're going, well, yeah. So to watch you work is fun. And, you know, that I think that part of it too is like, okay, you don't have to do anything special. Just start working on your own psychic or PSI or intuition, and it will evolve as you continue to practice. What's the event? Go ahead.
Well, that is the key, practice, learning some techniques and practicing. And it's just like playing a musical instrument. The more you practice, the better you get. And so the workshop, I am going to teach people over a two-day period my techniques that I use in order to activate the pituitary center, which is our third eye center,
mm-hmm.
and then how to send their consciousness out to other locations. And that may sound like something that's very difficult to do, but it isn't. And anybody can learn how to do this. There are many other people who do this, and they use different techniques. There, of course, is, you know, the government trained protocol method. You can get books on that, and they do have training in remote viewing. It's a complete different method than I use.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just call myself a natural remote viewer, because this came about, it evolved, you know, over my entire lifetime, and just using my third eye center, if you will, my sixth sense, I so often. I think that is the reason why I can remote view so easily now. But people are going to learn my techniques and then take those home and practice them. And I guarantee within 6 months to a year of doing this, a person can get very, very good at it.
Well, and that's what I like about it, because it really points out the fact that you don't have to do somebody's, this is the only way it's done. There's figuring out what your strengths are, and then figuring out how you can enhance that. We're going to have to take a break, but I also wanted to come back, MargieK.com. This is a remote viewing class. You can get on her website and find the class. But I want to come back and ask you, because there are several things on here. There's a ghost hunting classes, the ET communication class, all sorts of things that people would be interested in, and then also talking about the local stuff with Kansas City, the sightings you mentioned in your book, because it's Raytown, you know, these are places people are familiar with, and maybe not familiar with the fact that they're so active and that we've had events right here. You don't have to travel somewhere else. Are you okay with that, Marcia Kay?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So in the meantime, I also want to mention that there are some great shows in the archives and Wendy's Coffee House Audio Boom. If you go on the blog site, then you can access the shows. We did one on 2019 and what's coming up that mentioned both the forecast for America and the forecast for President Trump. And that one is specific. It's exclusive. David Rowan said he's not doing that for anybody else. So if you want to check that one out, it gives you an overview of what might be happening and coming up for this interesting, should I say? Maybe that's the best word. Here, Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. My guest, Marcia Kay, is in the Midwest, and she is one of the people who is incredibly active and well-known for doing all sorts of things. Ghost hunting, the paranormal researcher, that's basically the one-stop shopping. But there are other things. If you check out the website, marciakay.com, ghost hunting classes, ET communication class, remote viewing class, and the one we're talking about right now, she's got the remote viewing class coming up, and that's March 2nd and 3rd. I think it's a two-day event at the Quality Inn. There we go. I did get my page. Quality Inn Suites, and that's in Independence. So if you want to find out details about that, you can get on site and check it out. But with this, there are so many abilities that you have. What happened first?
Oh. I would say when I was about 2.5, I started seeing little lights in the air, and also an energy field around trees. And I asked my family what these things were, and they didn't know. So at a real early age, I was using these abilities.
Okay. And so where did you go for help with that?
Well, at that time, we really didn't know. We didn't have resources. We didn't have the internet, you know, way back in the day. But my mother, when I was about 11 or 12, handed me a book by Edgar Casey.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about himself. And I was so glad to have that book because I finally realized that I wasn't the only one that was experiencing these things. And I would go to the library every weekend and check out every single book that I possibly could on, you know, every subject in order to try to figure out what it was I was experiencing and maybe how to hone my skills.
Mm-hmm.
But I never took any formal classes. I did attend a few classes for energy healing, energy work, and perceiving energy fields, which was very helpful. But the other way that I got my training, and this might sound a little bizarre, but is from, I would say, higher dimensional beings,
mm-hmm.
interdimensional beings, and extraterrestrials. And they have been with me most of my life. I didn't really realize exactly who these beings were until the last 10 years, but their voices are the same, and they've just given me little nudges and ideas along the way, like, you know, like the idea to send my energy out to find that missing girl.
Mm-hmm.
That started, I think that was probably one of my interdimensional people helping out.
Well, okay, so do you do much out-of-body work?
You know, I used to. And the thing is that my method for sending my energy out or my etheric body out is so much easier that I don't do out of the body anymore. Mm-hmm. I've accidentally found myself out sometimes.
Yeah, I've had that too.
You know, astral travel, and all of a sudden you're standing on a cold ground. It's like, wait a minute, I didn't mean to do that. But I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I started when I was 15. I had my first out-of-body experience.
Okay. Yeah, I had mine with a dentist. I had my wisdom teeth pulled. And all of a sudden,
oh.
I was looking over his shoulder. And I was looking in, you know, and I told my mom when I got out, out, you know, out in the car talking later. I said, well, and I'm realizing as I'm talking that I shouldn't have been able to see that. I was supposed to be out. Well, I was just out in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That happened to me during surgery once too.
I
woke up and I listened to their whole conversation about golf. And then told them later, and they said, wait a minute, you were out for that.
Yeah, and I know what you were doing. Oh, the remote viewing workshop is coming up. Now, you also do workshops with these other, with the ghosts and the ETs and making contact or teaching people how to do an investigation. What is that? Just basically, you know, anybody give you a call and say, hey, let's chat?
No, I do it for large groups. People who are having seminars or meetings, you know, psychic groups or dowsing groups or whatever, they can arrange for, an hour and a half talk or a full day workshop on whatever subject they want. And then periodically I will hold my own. So I'm having my own remote viewing workshop March 2nd and 3rd here in Independence. I'll set things up. But I don't do too many of those because I'm just so busy. I'd rather that other groups set things up and then I come in. And the thing about that is, too, you know, you always have a captive audience because the groups who are into similar subjects, those people are going to be more open-minded and they're more teachable.
Yeah, well, they're ready. Yeah, they're saying, hey, help us. What can you do? Now, with this one, you're talking, I've got the press release, increase your sixth sense, learn how to meditate, access the part of your mind that's effectively used for remote viewing, and learn how to view events or objects that are near or far. So this is like a hands-on approach with somebody who's demonstrating how this works and what questions you might need answered. You're going to be right there 2 days, and Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 9 to 3. And you're doing lunch both days, $99 per person.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
Yep. Lunch is included. We want to have a quick lunch so we can get right back at it.
Okay, so
that's the easiest way to do it.
For people who want to register, it's margiekay.com, margiekay.com. And then with this, I want to get back into the book. You have a really cool story in here. This is the Kansas City UFO Flaps book, and I love it because you've got pictures, too. This one happens to have a picture, and I like the title, Aliens at the Gas Station.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, this is part of one of the biggest cases I've ever worked, and this occurred, the sighting event happened in October of 2011. October 4th. And this particular incident happened later when one of the witnesses had his daughter in the vehicle with him. They stopped at a gas station to fill the car up with gas, and his daughter saw something standing to the right of the vehicle near the windshield. And she got her cell phone camera and snapped a couple of pictures. So you can see the dash, you can see the window, and it's got some dirt and smudges on it, but there's very, very clearly something that looks like an extraterrestrial leaning to the side.
Yeah.
As if he's looking in the window at this child.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the picture is there.
That's great. That's,
you can
interpret
it however you want. But, and this, what's interesting is that this gentleman has had ongoing UFO sightings his entire life, and he happened to be one of the witnesses to this huge event on October the 4th, where many, many people saw this gigantic craft across Kansas City, and we tracked it and have multiple witnesses. It's probably one of the biggest cases ever in history of ufology.
Okay,
and
okay, okay, wait, 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 wait. Okay, wait, wait. Well, we're going to have to take a break. We're going to come back with that because I want to know why it was so big, and I want to know this page 25. There's a picture here. Okay, and I want to know if that's the picture you're talking about. So hang on. We're talking with Margie Kay, and this book is The Kansas City UFO Flaps, Great Pictures Worth Getting. All right, back with Margie Kay in a few. KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio. It is so fun when you can talk to somebody who's had these experiences and they don't think you're kooky, you're nuts, you're, you know, you're crazy. They just know, yeah, I know. Isn't that neat? That's great. Because once you've had an experience like that, I tell you what, you're on fire. You're like, where can I go for more? Who can I talk to? What is happening? Because it's like you've opened this window to an entire universe of cool. And maybe some of it's a little bit intimidating. Some of it might be frightening. Get over it, okay? Because the more you explore and unlock your own intuitive abilities, the more you will see and the more you will expand and get to know reality from a different perspective. But this is the book, The Kansas City UFO Flaps. And we were talking about this case. Page 25, this is a picture. Now, you said this is like a huge ship that's going across. Is that what this picture is?
This is a picture taken from the balcony of an apartment complex, looking down on and straight ahead at this object, which had, at that point, lowered itself to about 6 feet above the ground and had turned on its side. So we're looking at the underneath portion of the craft in this picture. And you'll notice that there's nothing defined about the lights or about an edge, but there is. And the gentleman who saw this said that it looked like it was actually a living, breathing object. As it got closer, they could tell that the lights, were moving and they were kind of distorted, and like the object itself was breathing. It was very, very strange. It's one of the strangest cages. But as the object moved away, they could see defined edges.
Wow. Yeah, and in the picture, it also has this, there's black around the edge where it's definitely a difference. You can see the volume and then a break. So it's covering the space, the sky behind it. This is, again, October 2011 in Kansas City, and you say a possible abduction. Does that go along with this story?
It does. The witnesses saw a staircase lower from this object, and three ETs step out of it, and they believe that they had some missing time of about 20 minutes, because on both of their cell phones, one had a camera and one had a cell phone, both of the gentlemen were taking pictures constantly. But when they sat down to discuss this later, they looked at their cell phone and the camera, and there's a 20-minute time difference between pictures. Mm. So they think that that one of the men was taken aboard this craft, and then back. The craft stayed there the whole time, but he was taken aboard and then returned.
Okay. And you say this activity, interaction, has continued. And in the book, it's 2016, and this guy is still having these experiences. Have you talked to him recently?
Yes, and he still has till today. And just a few months ago, he gave me a call in the late evening, and I knew something was up because he never does that. And he said, there is several craft over South Raytown area, and there are six Apache helicopters. And I just jumped in my car and I head out there as fast as I could. And right as I pulled up, I saw an Apache helicopter come from my left and go to my right in a circle and then head off in the direction of Fort Riley. So I know I did not see the craft, but he said that there were three craft, and they had beams of light that were coming down onto houses in the neighborhood right behind him. So from his vantage point in his second store bedroom, he was looking outside and saw these lights. And he said there were emergency vehicles out there as well. And so he just couldn't understand why all the neighbors weren't standing out there looking at this entire event or if they were aware of it. But with the Apache helicopters being so loud, he just, you know, he found it amazing that nobody was outside, but, you know, they may have been scared.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
blame
them. Well, I wouldn't blame him, but I know he was telling me the truth because I saw one myself.
And see, that's what's so fascinating about this. A lot of times there will be a sighting and then the helicopter noise, whether it's actually some one of ours or the noise is part of the experience, I don't know. I suspect there might be a little more going on with that. That might be a mask or a cover just to say, okay, this is what you should see and this is what you're going to see. And that way you don't, it would just cover up whatever is happening. And we're more used to something like an Apache helicopter rather than a UFO. Does that make sense? A screen memory.
Yeah, and well, those are scary enough as they are. you know, you've got one flying 200 feet above your house. It's pretty noisy.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now with this, you also, in the book, I love the fact that you put the radar reports in here too. So when people are going, I know it happened, it has to be somewhere registering.
Right. And it's unusual for us to actually obtain radar reports. That's why I put them in here, because usually we get turned down and we don't get them. But what's bizarre about this particular case with the big sighting is that there was an object that was at about 8,500 feet, 9 miles from the sighting area, that stayed there for about 20 minutes. Well, radar doesn't lie, and there's no explanation. I mean, aircraft just does not stand still for 20 minutes.
Okay.
So what was it?
And the other thing about this is Clarence has healing abilities as a result, the character in this story.
Yes, he does.
He didn't have...
It's changed his life forever. He's had, so many things happen, but the biggest thing is that he now has the ability to heal. He can touch a person or an object like a car and fix it.
And fix it?
Yes.
He's going to be in demand.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I talked to him about this on multiple occasions about not going public, not using his real name.
Yeah.
But he insists he wants to use his real name because he wants people to know that this is true.
I appreciate that. I mean, he can always say no and he can, you know, make himself scarce if he needs to. But that's the thing when people want to say, oh, this is a hoax and this doesn't happen to anybody and they're all making it up. Well, now there are hundreds of cases of these kinds of things and these kinds of after effects. It makes it like a lot more plausible when you come into contact with somebody and see they're real. Oh, Margie, we got to get going. Margie Kay, my guest. Okay, Margie, one more time, the event coming up.
It's a remote viewing workshop, March 2nd and 3rd in Independence, Missouri. And to register, just go to margiekay.com. And we do have to have registration in advance.
Okay, that makes sense. And if you're listening, you can also check out the book, Kansas City UFO Flaps by Margie Kay. And that the pictures are definitely worth it because this is when... People always say, well, they didn't get a picture. I couldn't get a picture. Well, these folks did. Thank you, thank you, thank you. When it happens, it's like, yes, touchdown.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Exactly.
I appreciate you being able to do this. I'm sorry. I know I caught you at a cold season kind of midpoint. So your voice lasted. I appreciate that. And take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. And in the meantime, if you're listening, Wendy's Coffee House Blogspot site, I'll put the links to the show on there so you can connect with Margie Kay if you didn't hear it. And anything else that I mentioned during the show. In the meantime, whatever you're doing, remember we all have these abilities. And sometimes it just takes a little push, a little shove, a little confidence, a little incentive to say, well, what can I do? And that's how it works. Like with Margie Kay when she said, maybe I'll try this. And discovered a whole new way to apply her talent. Does that make sense, Margie Kay?
It sure does.
It sure does.
You hit the nail on the head.
You know construction. Yeah. Hey, thank you. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And whatever is happening, whatever's happening in the world right now, we're challenged to upgrade. And this is one way to do that. Remote viewing. You might be surprised at your abilities and your techniques. Till next time, stay curious. See ya.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.